Hey, everybody. My name is Tommy Morrow, and I'm an alcoholic. Remember the Monday night speakers group in St. Petersburg? Well, I'll tell you, you had a beautiful woman there speak Monday night. She did a real great job. I'm proud of you. My sobriety date is January 31st, 1964. I stumbled into Alcoholics Anonymous, not being an alcoholic. I came here because somebody thought it was a good idea that I came because I was going to be getting married soon. And it was either go to AA or else. So I showed up at AA. I looked around the room when I walked in there. And there weren't any young people like you guys. It was just the opposite. They're all old like Dick over there. I mean, he was really old. I looked in there and I said, I have another 30 years to drink. I was not looking for a way to stay in here. I was looking for a way to stay out of here. Now, I'm going to get into my little drunkalogue, but I hope I don't get into that for too long. I'll get back to that spot in a minute. I'd rather tell you about how I've been able to maintain my sobriety through you people, because I still think it's me sometimes, and how AA has worked in my life, sober and Alcoholics Anonymous for 46 years. I have a friend of mine down the back who's got 53 years of sobriety. Unbelievable, right? And him and I both think that people that came up here and picked up their chips for 1 week, 3 days, 2 days is an unbelievable long time. When I grew up, I was the kind of kid that maybe like you kids here today, I'm going to call you kids, but when you were kids, I would do anything. If I saw a need in my community, I would take care of it. Nobody had to tell me to do something. My mother may have encouraged me once in a while to go do something for another person, but I would do that. I loved going to church. I was not a religious fanatic, but I loved going to church once a week, twice a week, just because I like how I felt when I got there or when I left there. There was a lot of drinking in my family, and my mother asked me one day, I don't know if I was this big or that big, but she says, I never want you to pick up a drink. And I had seen what alcohol had done to my family, especially me, because of how I reacted to what happened to me when my father came home drunk. My father didn't come home drunk all the time, but when he came home drunk, he was not a nice guy. Had a lot of fear about that. And so I didn't want to pick up a drink because I didn't like what I saw. But came a time in my life when the time came for me to fulfill that commitment to my mother that I made, and I remembered that before I picked that drink up. I picked it up because I didn't want to feel different. I think I wanted to belong. I didn't have any hole in my stomach, believe me. I didn't have any emptiness in my stomach. My life was full. I enjoyed whatever I did. And when I picked up a drink, my whole life changed. Didn't like it. I liked how I felt. I chased that kind of that little buzz or that little high for a long time, trying to recapture that. But I got in trouble every time I picked up a drink. I picked up a drink when I was 12 or 13, probably 13, 14 maybe. I'm not really clear about that. But the important thing is that it took me on a ride in 3 or 4 years that almost destroyed my life. I was a good athlete. I drank every time I got a chance. I got drunk every time I got a chance. I blacked out every time I drank, so I was drinking a lot of booze. And I don't know if there's anybody out there that said this story, I'm going to show them, let me show them, or I'm going to show you. I said that one day to myself about my parents, I'm going to show them. And I went on a 5-day drunk. I have no idea what happened on that 5-day drunk. I went and got a little flat down in the town that I lived, and I went and got drunk every day I could get drunk. And I woke up like this, being sworn into the United States Army in a blackout. I hate authority. I have no idea what I'm doing. And I'm looking around a room, and I say, oh, my God. I knew I was screwed. I knew I was screwed. And that was welcome to the United States Army. They had to stop in Connecticut for, so we could get something to eat. And another guy and myself, we got lost for about 4 or 5 hours. They were looking for us, and we knew they were looking for us, but they couldn't find us. And that was another problem. When I got down to New Jersey, to Fort Dix, New Jersey, they were waiting for us, and they were waiting especially for me and this other guy, who caused them a lot of late nights missing sleep or whatever their plans were for the evening. They weren't going to get there. And I had to stand at attention in the rain, and I don't know what attention is, but I had a bunch of stuff they give you, and it was like this, and I'm standing in the rain. Not a good way to enter the United States Army. They liked me so much, they sent me to Korea. They offered me an opportunity to, this is the Army now, I don't know about any other branches of service, but they offered me, they said, would you like to be an MP or would you like to be a dental technician? Now, why I never said I want to be an MP is the grace of God. Maybe God was working in my life right then. And I can't imagine me with a gun and with a bat, you know, trying to help some of these people in their barroom problems. So I became a dental technician. And, you know, I used to think when I drank that I took care of myself. You know, a successful night was getting back to where I was supposed to be. But I know today that God put people in my life to help me, to take care of me, long enough for me to get to Alcoholics Anonymous. A lot of people loved me and cared about me. While I wasn't always bad, but when I was drunk, it was like another nightmare. And you just heard how I left home, my parents. My dad cried. My dad cried every day. My father was a big guy, and he cried every day at the breakfast table because he didn't know where his son was, and he'd get a call once in a while from the school I was supposed to go to wanting to know where I was. So I spent 13 months in Korea, and I decided that I really needed to stop drinking because I was going home, and I didn't want to be that kid that left home. I wanted to come home and be the kind of kid that I could have been. So I tried to stop drinking, and I went into the horrors and DTs. Unbelievable. I don't know what that is, because I have always loaded with booze. My outfit was Sergeant Bilko in McHale's Navy. That was it. If you know anything about those antics that they did, we did them all. And I tried to stop drinking. And I went in these horrors and DTs, and the guy says, you better have a drink, or you're going to be in trouble. And I had a drink, and that drink took me, you know where it took me. It took me back home, drunk again. If I could have ever stopped drinking, I would have stopped that day. Because I wanted to go home and make my parents be proud of me. And I made such a fool of myself, I had to leave early from my 30-day leave. I had to leave early. I got out of the service. Good discharge, thank you, God. Nothing of my own doing, believe me. Had no skills at all. My father was president of the Ironworkers Local in Boston, so I became a drunken ironworker apprentice. And to show my gratitude for him, I'd show up at school on a Saturday morning because I got drunk Friday night, passed out on the table, trying to do whatever you're supposed to do. I was doing just the opposite. And he told me if I didn't get myself squared away that I was out of here. And he would have thrown me out, not because of I was his son. He would just throw me out because my behavior was unacceptable. Along about this time, I thought I should go find a woman. I thought a woman, a good woman, would straighten me right out. And they found Mimi in a bar room. And you know what? Mimi drinks this much drink about every 3 years, like that. And she's one of the reasons that I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I did find a good woman who straightened me right out. She never had an idea of how much I really drank because I would pick her up after work, and we would go out and eat or something, and I would drop her off or make sure that I was out of her house at 9 o'clock so I could go drink the way I always drank. And I'm the guy that knocks on the door of the bar room at 5:30 in the morning hoping that the door's going to open up because I need a drink. I want to tell you tonight that I hope that you don't compare your story with me, that you try to identify with the feelings that are going on, because the idea is, if you don't like what happens to you when you drink, you got a shot here. Now, that's a tough question to ask somebody. You know, my sponsor asked me the first night I got to AA. I have a sponsor. His name is Arthur Kay. He's sober 59 years. He makes coffee down at Longboat Key on Tuesday night, and you can go down there and say hello to him. I tell him, I said, he was at it again. This guy asked me one question at AA to save my life. And it wasn't, he asked me if I was an alcoholic, and I said, absolutely not. The next question was, and this is why I'm here today, do you like what happens to you when you drink? And I said, I hate it. Because I hate what happens to me when I drink. And he said, can you go to a meeting tomorrow? The meeting's in Massachusetts, where I got sober, 8 miles north of Boston. Wow, I usually get a big roar about that, but we got one here. what happens is, he says, can you go to a meeting tomorrow? Now, I'm a daily drinker. Without drinking, I said, I don't know. I'm too busy. I'm getting married in a few months, and we have plans. And she said, he'll be there. Okay. I went there that night, the next night, and I went to AA the next night, and I hated it. And I went another night, and I hated it. And I never said I was an alcoholic. And I went to the, for a week, I went to AA, and I hated every one of those meetings I went to. I didn't hate him. I got hope at my first AA meeting, and I didn't even know it. But I hated the idea that I was going into these dingy, I don't know what I was thinking, because I drank in dingy bars. I was going into these basements of schools, and they were, you know, they were smoke-filled, and it was, I'm the only young guy, I'm 23 years old, I'm the only young person in that whole area, as far as I know. Too young to be an alcoholic. I was an alcoholic 2 weeks after I picked up a drink because I thought about the next time I was going to have a drink. You know, that's what I'm talking about. If you have one beer a week or two beers a week or six packs a month and you don't like what happens to you when you drink, you drink once a year and your whole world falls in, that's problems. Man, I can't see it because I got a head full of I want to drink and I got a body that wants to drink, and I'm sober 7 days in AA. I went to, I think maybe 2 or 3 weeks after I went to AA, I said, my name is Tom, and I'm an alcoholic. And I didn't really believe that. I said it because I thought my sponsor might like to hear it. And he said, big deal. You know, big deal, you're an alcoholic. You know what big deal is for me? What do you want to do about being an alcoholic? I don't want to do nothing about being an alcoholic. I don't like what's going on. I'm not used to not drinking. I don't know how that's happening. I'd probably get down on my knees and ask God for help with my drinking problem. And I went to a meeting every day. And after a month of going to AA, I had this wonderful drunk dream that I woke up and I thought I had drunk and caused all kinds of difficulty, and I didn't believe that I was sober. The power of that dream kept me sober in AA. Again, nothing to do with me, because I'm a halfway measure kind of guy. I don't drink. When I said I was an alcoholic, you know why I wouldn't say I was an alcoholic? Because I thought you'd take my bubber away from me. And I wasn't ready to give that up. But when I said I was an alcoholic, I knew that I couldn't drink, and if I did drink, it was over. So that's how I stayed sober for a while. My big deal was, how am I going to go to my bachelor party and not drink? Ooh, a bachelor party's big deal, right? I moaned and groaned about 3 or 4 weeks or 5 weeks in AA about that. They must have got tired of listening to me moan and groan about how am I not going to drink. My sponsor told me I couldn't go unless I was on good spiritual grounds, and I had no idea what that was. I didn't go to my bachelor party. That's another reason why I'm here today. To put a value on myself And I'm quite sure that they didn't miss me at my bachelor party. I'll guarantee you that. You know, I'll guarantee you that. I have a sponsor that loves me, I'm going to tell you. He didn't want to be my buddy. He told me the truth as he saw it. And I'm sober a year. And in Massachusetts, they give you, when you got a year sober, they gave you a big cake. And at 5 years, they gave you another big cake, and 10 and 15 and 20 down the road. I invited everybody that I knew. Everybody was there. You know, there's another 15 or 20 people celebrating in January, like me, but I thought it was all about me, and they all got their cakes and this and that, and I was the last one being presented his cake. My sponsor come out, and he had this thing in his hand. It was a cupcake with a candle in it. I don't know. If you're expecting a big cake, you know, and you get a cupcake, you know, you're a little disturbed. That's how much my sponsor loved me, because I needed to be brought to my knees, because I got this ego that's out of control. I've got this thing about me that I'm bulletproof, you know. My little story about after I got married, I was in AA 6 months and married 3 months, and I thought I was really, a good guy. I am a good guy. I bring home the money. I think that's what I'm supposed to do, bring home the money. And I brought home the money one night, and my bags were packed. 3 months married and 6 months in AA. I really was a halfway measure guy. I had caused her enough trouble in 3 months that she didn't want nothing to do with me. So I said to Mimi, take those bags back upstairs. And you go to Al-Anon and try to figure out how to live with a guy like me. Now, is that arrogant? How arrogant can you be? Well, Mimi went to Al-Anon, and Al-Anon is a beautiful program. It helps the family and friends of alcoholics and helps them cope with not me, but with what I create and what they need to do for themselves. And 3 years later, my wife became chairman of Al-Anon in Massachusetts. Man, that was a good thing and it was a bad thing, but it was a good thing. I'm going down to see Bill Wilson. I'm very happy to report to you that I met Bill Wilson. And he was a beautiful guy. My story is that I was coming home from work about 10 o'clock in the morning. I told my wife, have everything ready because we're going to go down and have some fun. And nothing was ready when I got home, and I'm ready to leave. I got to get down to New York. And she asked me to vacuum the rug, and I kicked that vacuum cleaner all over the house. That's 3 years sober. Kicked that vacuum cleaner all over the house and ended up with a toe like this, going down to New York to have some fun. And she told everybody that she could tell when we get down there. Now, this is important. That wasn't so bad. That's just a story of how insecure and how important I think I am, that we need to go and she needs to get going and nothing's ready. And I get down to New York and I was walking around the room and different rooms. They have different meetings in different rooms. You know how the conventions are. And this was they called his birthday. And I'd go from room to room to room, just like I'm looking for the last drink in another bar room and I got to get to another room to make sure I don't miss something. And I missed Bill Wilson that day, talking to 10 other guys, or 12, whatever they were in the room. And I said, I'm not listening to that. You know, that's my trouble in AA. I don't listen to that. I don't listen to that, so it's going to save my life. Because I'm ready to get out of here. The room got very quiet that night and that afternoon. And I said to my sponsor, what happened? He said, Bill Wilson just came into the room. I said, really? Where is he? He was over there, and that was one of those guys that I had no idea that could have helped me. Maybe if I could listen. Can't listen. I always want to leave before the message delivered. That's my problem. Go for a cigarette break, and I want to leave. Sit in a room full of people like this, and I say, I can't stand it here. I got to get out. And I go outside in the parking lot out there, and there's all those cars and me. You know? Not good. Thank God for Foundation and AA of going to AA every day. Saved my life. And I told my little, whatever time I had with Bill Wilson, I told him my little story, and he said, keep coming, kid. You know, he said, keep coming, kid, and you'll be okay. That was my problem. I wasn't okay. I didn't feel okay. I never felt okay after I picked up a drink. Never. I'm in AA, and I still don't feel okay. You know why? Because I'm doing the first half of step one. I'm doing the first half of step three. You know, and I'm asking God to help me with my drink problem, period. You know, I know I can't drink, and my life is upside down. Not because I'm a bad guy, but I got a lot of anger issues, and I take a lot of things personal, and I don't know what to do with that anger because I'm not drinking. And I'm hurting a lot of people sober. You know, I wasn't that way bad every day, but I was bad enough that my kids never knew who was coming home sober in AA. Eight years of being sober, I woke up one day in AA saying, what's the use? You know, where they got that woman says, is that all there is to that? And I'm supposed to be speaking at a night, speaking out at a meeting. And I told my wife to tell them jerks that I'm sick. And those jerks are my sponsor and my group and, you know, those jerks. Tell them I'm sick. And Mimi picked up the phone and called up and said, get this jerk out of my house. You know, and I was able to, probably the first time in my life, get up before you people to talk, and all I could do was cry. All I could do was cry. I had so much stuff in me that I just couldn't talk. I can get that way today, even thinking about that. And it's okay to cry. I'd sit at home all by myself wanting to cry. Can't do it. You know, boy, did I cheat myself out of that stuff. You know, I got so much gratitude about what AA has given me. I can sit in a room sometime and listen to somebody and I can start crying. You know, Linda and I went down and Ron went down to listen to a play about Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob. It was down in Fort Lauderdale area on the East Coast. And to see the love of those two men that started this program, those actors got really into that thing. And I could sit there and cry about the story. And it was basically most about Abby, a little bit about Abby doing, helping Bill get squared away. And it really about Bill going out to Akron and how that whole thing started. It was powerful, really powerful. So we're celebrating 75 years of AA, right? If you haven't made plans to go to San Antonio, you better start making them because it's the time. I've missed one or two since I've been in AA. They're always better and they're incredible. Change your life. And that's what AA has done to me. Changed my life slowly. 8 years in AA, I got to go see a psychiatrist because I want to kill somebody. You know, I got to deal with these anger issues because I don't like who I am. I took my first four step with a priest. Why would I want to do that? You know, I got a sponsor that loves me. I don't want to let him know everything about me. So I'll tell a priest, right? Big mistake. Wasn't the priest's fault, it was my fault. I wasn't honest. You know, if you're smart, you'll take it with your sponsor and you'll do it as soon as you can. And nobody does it perfect. But we get enough because we don't finish anything. You'll get enough to feel okay, like maybe you belong in AA. You know? It doesn't take long to turn this mind around to say, I don't belong here. That's the biggest lie I tell myself. I don't know how much time I got, but how much time do I have? Huh? 15 minutes. That's good. Well, that was my little 12-step program that I had to really engage myself after that fiasco. I had to really go back and really try to do a program that I knew how to do, that you people taught me how to do. I had to put a value on myself again. You know, sometimes I'd have to come into AA in the room and say, I'm important. I'd say to my, I'm important. I count. I didn't believe that. You know, and eventually I walked in here and I didn't have to say anything. I knew I belonged. But I had to say it over and over and over because I want to run away. I always want to run away from things that are good for me. Hey, he's the best thing that ever happened to me. Man, I'm looking at you guys out there, and you are powerful. I look over and Dick over there at Dick, and I say, thank God Dick here with me because we both look alike. You know, maybe. You know, but you guys are powerful. You go anywhere you go, you're powerful. And you bring that commitment of service and love and service with you wherever you go. And it's not easy to get there, but I went around AA like this because I'm a tough guy. Alcohol was tough. I needed to go in around AA like this, say, please help me. I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me. Is it okay to ask for help? Man, that's a tough thing to do, ask for help sometimes. I'd ask God for help. Bang, the gun would go off and I'd run my life. You know? I found out I need to really have a loaded gun before I shoot that one shot because I need to focus on the day and what I'm trying to do. 15 years in AA, I had to get a divorce from this beautiful woman that brought three kids into the world with us. Just because we grew differently. We both grew in a different way. And we couldn't live with each other. And that was a tough thing to do. And then, what do I do now? This question is, if you're sitting out there and you got 15 years of sobriety or 8 years of sobriety or 3 years of sobriety, and you don't like what's going on in your life, step one, I'm powerless over people, places, and things. And if I don't like what's going on in my life, what do I want to do about it? I used to be one of these guys who had to win at everything. If it takes me 2 years to win at something, I'm going to win. And that's a lot of wasted energy. That's resentments that I carry around, wasted energy. You know, I'm the kind of guy, you know you're going to love this, I'm the kind of guy that cheats playing cards with his grandson. Because I got to win. That's the truth. You know where I learned that? I learned that from my grandfather. I said, you're cheating. He said, no, I'm not. My grandson said to my son, you're cheating. I said, no, I'm not. And I knew I was. And he knew I was. He'll say to his grandchild someday, you're cheating. He said, no, I wasn't. But today, you know, the difference in my life today is, you know, you hear around here, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? I don't know about that. I started out with that. I started out with, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And that was good. But I still had these character defects that sneak in there once in a while. But today, I can tell you today, after being sober all this time, I just want to be free. I want to be free. I want to be free from me. I want to be able to participate in someone else's life but besides my own. I want to be able to reach out to the person that's sitting beside themselves in an AA meeting. I haven't seen that happen here. Because you won't allow that to happen. Someone sitting by themselves, you're all over them. You know, I'd want to run out the door, but I'd really want to stay because I like what happened to me in AA. When I walked in that door and I didn't feel good about myself and I didn't feel like I belonged. Hard to believe that the love of AA is here. When people walk in here, and they got nothing left, and they don't feel like they belong. That's what alcohol takes us. To a point in our life where we don't think we're worth anything. That's the great remover, and remove some of us right out of this hole and right out of this world. I know there was a lot of things that I had to do to try to just stay sober. So I just stayed sober. And I worked on those, whatever I could work on, and I had people who cared about me tell me what was going on in my life. I didn't like it, and the more I didn't like it, the truer it was. Relationships in AA. I've had a few. A few, I mean a few, like two. And you know when a relationship's over? What am I going to do? Am I going to run away because I can't be with her because she's in a room? Or am I going to validate the relationship that I had with that woman and remember the good things instead of the crap that I can't see because I'm hurt? Hurt people hurt people. And if you're in a relationship in AA, try to be a good person in the relationship in AA. I mean, you're there. You might as well figure it out. You know? Figure it out. Grow from the experience of the relationship that you just had, and don't get into another one till you know exactly what the hell's going on with you. That's me, because I put a value on me. I want to know how I participated in that, because I don't want to drink. I don't want her to drink. I'm going to tell you about my three kids. They never saw their father pick up a drink. I told you about it. They never knew who was coming home. Well, I got... Michelle's my youngest, and she's just addicted to making a lot of money. She makes a lot of money. She's broke the glass ceiling, I don't know how many times. She's up there someplace making a lot of money, and she's happy. Doesn't smoke, doesn't drink. My son Peter's the oldest, and Peter got sober about 18 years ago. He didn't get sober through me because I can't help my kid. You can help my kids. He asked me one day one thing, though. He said, what's the matter with me? Boy, what a loaded question that is. What's the matter with me? You ever sit back and wait for your kid to say, imagine your father or mother one, and you ask them, what's the matter with me? I could hardly contain myself. You know what I said because of you people in AA? I said, Peter, get a piece of paper. Not now. Go home. Write down what happens to you in the relationship you have when you drink. That was it. 3 weeks later, Peter got sober because he wanted to get sober, but had nothing to do with what I said. And he came to AA because he was broke. He was living in a house where people were smoking and joking, and he had to get away. He couldn't do either one of those. And he went to a meeting in Chelsea, Massachusetts on a Saturday where they had donuts, Swiss Miss, I guess that's a chocolate drink, Swiss Miss, and they had a lot of women that paid attention to him. And he gets sober. Mary Beth got sober. Mary Beth's sober 28 years. Mary Beth always wanted to just make chocolate chip cookies and have kids. That's what she wanted to do. She makes the best chocolate chip cookies, and she's got the best kids that are all lined up doing what Mary Beth tells them. Mary Beth got sober because an 18-year-old kid in high school called her up one day and said, Mary Beth, have you had enough? Remember that? Have you had enough? I've had enough. She said, yeah, I've had enough. And she went away to a detox, got squared away. Unbelievable. Her children have never seen her and her husband drink. So there is recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to talk a little bit about forgiveness for a minute. All the things that I'm talking about, I really believe deeply in my heart. We say the Lord's Prayer every day. Every day we say the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against me. You think I forgive people who trespass against me? No way. But I want you to forgive me because I made a mistake. Powerful. I got an imaginary book. I have a lot of tools. They're all imaginary. When I came to AA, my first imaginary tools was a sledgehammer and a chainsaw. And I would go through life with a chainsaw and a sledgehammer. Today, I got a book and a pencil, and I give free passes to people. They don't know I'm giving them free passes. It's saving my butt, giving them a free pass. You make mistakes. and I got a little imaginary screwdriver that I can turn up my screws or I can back them off. Now, if you get that from a sledgehammer to a chainsaw to a screwdriver, that's what you people have done for me. You guys are so powerful. AA is so powerful. I love what Alcoholics Anonymous has given me. And I'm going to tell you right now that my life gets better and better and better every day. And I'm telling you that my life today mostly is like, not like this. That's how I used to be for a long time. Now it's kind of just, I had a bad day today, right? For me, a bad day was, I don't even forget what happened, but it was just heaven. Yeah. I was just having an uncomfortable day. What I expected to happen didn't happen, and I showed up someplace and nobody was there, and then somebody gave me a tough time about something else, and that was a tough day. And I've had a lot of tough days, but that was, somebody said, you think that's tough? I said, to me it's tough. It's disturbing my karma. You know, I like to feel, you know, I live in reality. Believe me, I live in reality. I know what reality is, and I can't change reality, but I can change me and how I show up in reality. And I can't do that without you, and I can't do that without asking God to enter my life and help me do his will and not mine. Because I got this ego that's incredible. It's under control at the moment. It's suspect when I leave here. But for the most part, it's under control. And I talked about that relationship that I had with a beautiful woman before, and it just was gone. I never spoke a harsh word to her or anything. And I waited for a year and a half, and I've got the best woman in my life that I've ever had, who truly cares about me and loves me, because I took the time to take a look at myself and what I do with me, and I'm still the problem. I'll always be the problem. I'm so happy that you got this meeting here tonight. I love the way you listen, because it helps me be able to bring my message. And I have no idea what that is half the time when I get up here. But you inspire me to be better. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kevin. I'm an alcoholic. This is Dr. Bob's last message, delivered at the first International Conference of Alcoholics Anonymous at Cleveland, Ohio in 1950. I get a big thrill out of looking over a vast sea of faces like this with the feeling that possibly some small thing I did a number of years ago played an infinitely small part in making this meeting possible. I also get quite a thrill when I think that we all had the same problem. We all did the same things. We all get the same results in proportion to our zeal and enthusiasm and stick-to-itiveness. If you will pardon the injection of a personal note at this time, let me say that I have been in bed 5 of the last 7 months, and my strength has not returned as I would like, so my remarks of necessity will be very brief. There are 2 or 3 things that flashed into my mind on which it would be fitting to lay a little emphasis. One is the simplicity of our program. Let's not louse it all up with Freudian complexes and things that are interesting to the scientific mind, but have very little to do with our actual AA work. Our 12 steps, when simmered down to the last, resolve themselves into the words love and service. We understand what love is, and we understand what service is, so let's bear those 2 things in mind. Let us also remember to guard that erring member, the tongue, and if we must use it, let's use it with kindness and consideration and tolerance. And one more thing, none of us would be here today if somebody hadn't taken the time to explain things to us, to give us a little pat on the back, to take us to a meeting or two, to have done numerous little kind and thoughtful acts on our behalf. So let us never get the degree of smug complacency so that we're not willing to extend or attempt to that help which has been so beneficial to us. To our less fortunate brothers, thank you very much.